thankful this morning to be here. I hope you are thankful as well. God has been good to us to allow us to see again this day that we've never seen before. And we will never see it again, but God has blessed us. And I'm so thankful to be here. Are you? If you're visiting with us and not a member of the Church of Christ, we want you to know you're a very honored guest of the audience, and we appreciate you being in the audience here or listening to us via conference call. We are Facebook Live or YouTube Live. We thank you so very much for being with us. And we do pray that you will, if you're not a member of the Church of Christ, will consider the fact that God gave his son and his son gave his life on the cross. Amen. And God wants us to love him for that. Yeah, he wants us to love him. And the response to that love will be obedience by believing it with all of our hearts, repenting of our sins, confessing him to be the Son of God before men, then be baptized for the remission of sins. And then the Lord would add you to the only church in the Bible, and that is the Church of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And so you're not saved if you haven't been baptized in the true church. You're not saved. That's just all it is too. But you got to believe the Bible. If you don't believe the Bible, we can't help you. You can't help a person to be saved who don't believe in this book. Y'all believe in this book?
Amen.
This book, the only book, tell us about what we got to do before we die. And nobody came back to tell us it's wrong. Now, I haven't met anyone. Have y'all met anybody come back and say there ain't nothing to it? Yeah, well, ain't nobody came back to tell us that, I'm going to keep believing it. How about you? I'm going to keep believing it. Then members of the church, we got to live faithful. Got to be faithful. No such thing. Once saved, always saved. Amen. You got to get baptized and live right. Ain't right. That's right. Act right. Live right. Do right. According to the scripture. When you mess up, confess your fault. That's all God tells us to do. Get it right when we make a mistake. Is that right, church? That's right. That's right. That's right, Church of Christ. The Bible is right. Every word of the Bible is right. Now, this morning, for a few minutes, last week I talked about a young man that I talked to, and he was struggling with how to deal with forgiveness, and then in that conversation this week, just listening to people talk, what they're dealing with, many people, including myself, struggling with something in your life. Something that don't seem to go away, or perhaps a question of something that only God can answer the question. But you have to deal with it in your thoughts, right? Y'all with me? And it's a struggle. It's a continuing struggle. And often it would be helpful if we could erase the memory. And it wouldn't be reminding you of the trauma, perhaps, you went through. Of the pain that you experienced in the situation. And you get to thinking about things going on in people's lives, and you start thinking about what's going on in your life, and sometimes you just get so caught up in your life, you would say, well, why me? You ever heard anyone say that? Why my child? Why my children? Why? Just why is all this coming down on me? Seems like, and you forget that other people around you, even in many cases, are worse off than you. But it seems to be your own struggle. And I believe God gives us the answer through the Apostle Paul. That there are some things that we will never know the answer to. We will never know the why. God allowed whatever he allowed to happen. And why he allowed it to happen in the time that he did. And why was it back to back to back? And why did it continue? And why hasn't it gone away? And I think somebody can relate to me where I'm at already, can't you? Some things you'll never know, you get by yourself. I started writing a book called Dark Room, The Dark Room Experience.
It's hard for me to pick it back up because, but everybody going to that place. I'm convinced. You know, 62 years of living, I'm convinced that we all went into this dark place in our lives. And we didn't quite know how to deal with it. Kind of feel your way through it. Y'all follow me? Now, am I coming into your life? That's what I'm trying to do. Like, we get into the play, we kind of feel our way through the situation. And we know there's light outside, and you got to let the windows up to do it, but you got to deal with the situation when you're in the situation. And then sometimes you want out of the situation, but the situation always exists. It don't go away. Am I relating to y'all yet? So, you know, I think, you know, if we think about our lives and we only look at our life, then you really can't appreciate how good you got it. Because you got to look at other people's lives too. Like, man, it ain't that bad. You know what I'm saying? You think you got it. What the old saying is, you think you got it bad. Look around, right? But that don't fix it when it's you, does it? It doesn't fix your situation to look at someone else's situation and say, well, yeah, it ain't that bad. But it's still, what? Still my situation. And my situation, I got to deal with. Yeah, of course. Now, let's look at this thorn in the flesh conversation that Paul had for a few minutes this morning. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 5, he said, Paul says now, of such one, yet of myself, yeah. Now he said, Paul was talking, there was a lot of false apostles back then in this text here. He was talking about how he had revelations. We'll see that. And a lot of things he could have bragged about. Paul said, no, I don't want to do that. What I want to talk about is my weaknesses. You know, a lot of us can talk about our strength, but how well are we at talking about our weaknesses? You know, when you talk about your weakness, you kind of got to look at yourself, don't you? Paul says, I'm not going to glory about other stuff that's good. I want to talk about the things I'm dealing with. And sometimes we don't talk about, that's what I talked about last week. Sometimes we keep stuff in. We don't really deal with the things that we're dealing with. What are our weaknesses, you know? What's in the closet that you haven't dealt with? You know, what's really troubling you when ain't nobody else around? Amen. So Paul says, for though I would desire to glory, verse 6. Now, it would be a fool for me to just brag about all the good in my life. Now, that's just foolish for somebody to do. Paul said that would be foolish. Now, he says what?
Well, I will say the truth.
But I'm going to tell you what the truth is.
But now I forbear lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me.
I don't want you to think, if I get the right brag, you would think I'm all this in a bag of chips that we would say. But Paul said, that's not the view I want you to have. I want you to have the view of the truth when you listen to me. I think, and coach many young ministers is that the main thing about pulpit preaching is be real so people can relate. Right? You know, you don't need to be a fake up here. Like, you don't act like you got it together. They don't. You know, that's something I don't practice. I mean, that's kind of what he's saying here. I want you to listen to me. Paul's saying, I want when you hear me to know that I'm dealing with things just like you. That's what he's pretty much telling the Corinthians here. There's some issues he's got. He said, now here he says, now I should be exalted. That's why you don't, you know, Brother Brooks don't need to be no reverend or father. That's why men don't need to be exalted in the pulpit. It's just brothers, right? Here's Paul said, I don't want that above measure through what the abundance. Well, I could talk all this stuff about what I've seen, the third heaven, all that. That's what he's talking about. You go back up and read that. But now he said, but here's what I want y'all to know about me. Paul said, there was given to me
a thorn. The messenger of Satan.
A thorn in the flesh. That's the title right there. Paul said there was a thorn. Y'all know a thorn is sticky, right? A thorn sticks you. It's something painful. Now he said a thorn, it's singular. A thorn in the flesh,
the messenger of Satan
to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above. Now, Paul said, now I got this thorn that's sticking me. It's in my flesh. It's a fleshly situation. And There are some people who call themselves scholars of the Bible that comes out and try to answer this question. Get Galatians chapter 4 for me, in verse 13. But I'm not going to take this position they're going to take. The scholars say this thorn in flesh had something to do with a physical handicap, possibly, that Paul had of something going on with his, with him. In Galatians chapter 4, where they take that from, in verse 13, if we get there, we'll read that real quick, and then we'll come back and make some application lesson to be yours today. Y'all praying for me, ain't you?
Yes, we
are. All right. Let's do this. Now, what do we say?
Till we all come in the...
Get Galatians chapter 4. The last time I read that, it didn't read like that.
No, I don't read that,
brother. The last time I read it, it didn't read like that. It's been a long time since I read that, brother, but the last time I did, it didn't read it. Praise the mighty name of Jesus. You're gonna be all right, ain't you?
Galatians 4.
Yeah, yes, 13, if you don't mind. That one.
You know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel now, to you at the first.
Now, Paul said, now you know through infirmity of flesh. Now, he said infirmity of what? Flesh. That's the physical side. I preached the gospel to you at first. He's talking to Galatians here. And he said, now notice what he says again, verse 14. And my temptation, which was in my flesh. So he's dealing with a fleshly issue of some sort. Despise not, nor reject it, but receive me. You didn't, because you knew I was dealing with this issue in my flesh, you still received me. As an angel of God, even as Christ. So they treated him really good, even though whatever he was dealing with, it was known, obviously. And so I take the position, there's something that was going on in the flesh, but if you go back to 2 Corinthians, Paul told us over there what it was. You don't have to guess. Here's what he says. Go back and let's read that verse again. Paul says, it was given to me a what? Thorn in the flesh. Are you there? Now read that part that follows it. Watch this now. He said, the messenger, here it is, here's the problem. The thorn is the messenger of who?
Satan.
Which what?
To buffet.
Now, so he said what it is, he answers it. So I have to be a scholar to get the answer. Here it is, right here. He said, the messenger of Satan is the problem. And what he's doing, Sister Tim, he buffeted me. And so this messenger of Satan is the thorn. The messenger of Satan to buffet me, that was his thorn. So we do know this. The thorn was given to Paul. The thorn was obviously painful. The thorn was something he had to deal with in the flesh. But Paul said it was a messenger to keep me humble. It was a messenger of Satan to buffet, and the buffet meaning to punch, to torment, to harass. Now, this sounds simply similar to Job, doesn't it? You remember Job?
Yeah.
And I'll just tell you the story real briefly, but Satan approached God about his servant Job. And so then Satan says to God, no, I can't get to him. You got a hedge around him. Right? But then when God said, okay, he loosed Satan on Job and 10 children are dead on the same day. That's, you follow what I'm saying? So it sounds like to me that the hedge was around Job and God allowed Satan to harass, to buffet. So I'm thinking that Tommy Brooks gonna have to have some harassment, some buffing. I'm gonna have to have a thorn. Y'all missed it. I ain't missing it, are you? So you got, now I'm taking into the room. So I'm taking into the dark place. I'm saying, if God allow to happen whatever he want to happen, whenever he want to happen, then it's really God's decision to allow Satan to buffet me. And there's a purpose for God allowing it to happen like it did to Job. And in the end, oh, see, brothers and sisters, listen carefully, Brother Brooke. I'm saying this to us, that we got to be ready for this storm. That's why we're children of God. Because I'm going to tell you something. Without God, no one makes it okay. This is what gets us through the situation. This is how we learn how to deal with it. See, Paul considered whatever this thorn was, it was to keep him in the right state of mind. To keep him humble. Can any of you think of a thorn you got already? Is one already done popped up in your head and you got it already? Kind of what I just laid out. Let me throw something at you. You know, a thorn could be mental. It could be physical. Yeah. Health could be, it could be spiritual. You have this stuff going on in your head and you're trying to be a Christian and what's going on up here don't match what you're supposed to be doing. And you keep wondering, why is me? Why do I think like this? Why can't I just turn this off? Could be that flesh thing. That's why you're living. And you can't look at me and tell nothing about my inner man. You understand? You can't look at me and deal with my mind. But I have to live with where I think. You have, I'm saying me, that don't mean I'm doing all this myself. I'm just saying, the fact is, everybody know they're in a person, and everybody has something going on. Right. Up in his head. That you ain't gonna tell everybody what it is. And it wouldn't be wise to do. Let me give y'all a few of them to think about. Your thorn could be your health. You've been sick all your life. Man, you've been dealing with this sickness since you was a child. You still taking insulin. You've been 20 for 30 years. Why you? Why did it have to happen to you? Why is it this particular illness is something you've had to treat, have to go to the doctor about, have to deal with all your life? And it's possible terminal. And you know it. What about finances? So you maybe you're throwing, you just never seem to catch up. You know, you're always in the rat race. You're always robbing Peter to pay Paul. When you think you're doing better, you get right back to the same spot you was before. When you think you're doing good, everything crumbles. Anybody had that problem yet? Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe your thorn is the man or the woman you married. You don't got what you thought you got because you didn't think about what you were doing before you did it, and you did it anyway. And now you got to live with it, and you became a Christian, find out I can't divorce because I don't like him no more. I can't divorce for no other reason than he cheated on me. He ain't going to cheat on me. He just ain't going to act right at home. And that's your thorn. Your thorn is in the house with you. Amen. Your thorn is that woman you thought was so beautiful. When you got home, she wasn't so pretty because on the outside she looked good, but on the inside she was nothing but an ugly woman. Yeah, I took all the makeup off, wasn't nothing left. You say, well, brother, what are you trying to say? I'm saying there are people who are married to people that they don't want to be married to no more, and that's their thorn, it's their pain, it's their everyday reminder that I'm in a marriage I don't want to be in. And you can't come to Brother Brooks and Brother Stiles and say, I don't want to be here. Is it okay? No, we know we ain't going to say that. But you got to live with this thing now. And yeah, so I just plug in some premarital counseling. Would have worked really good. Maybe I could have pulled out some stuff before you jumped in there and said, I do. But you did it. And you did I do, so you do what you did. Did that come out right? I don't even know if that's it. Did that right? Y'all fix that for me. Are you grammatically correct, folk? Now, I have to make you laugh. I've talked about some of you already. You know, it could be your children. You got that one child. You know, oh, you got that one. It's always that same one. But what did I go wrong? That's what you're saying. You say, where did I go wrong? I did everything I thought, but why the same one just over and over and over and over? Causing mama pain. Got me worried. Last week on the call, we had a sister I never knew, talking about Absalom and David's problem with his children. We would bring that out. How many people, many parents have children who don't love them no more. They became their thorns. The very child they bear from the womb is now the thorn in the flesh. It's a miserable life for the mother, for the father. Perhaps it's a person in your life, you know, that's always poking at you. You know, this person always been a problem, will always be a problem, and you'll never stop being a problem. And that problem could be your very own brother, sister, family member. You know, I mean, the families are torn apart and don't speak to each other, brothers and sisters, don't even speak to each other. And if I see them, they don't do nothing but poke me, because that's my thorn. It's my little brother, he's my thorn. My little sister, she's my thorn. Y'all got that's somebody. There ain't nobody at this building dealing with some of this stuff I'm talking about. Don't ain't nobody here got none of this going on. Maybe it's a person in your life, perhaps an addiction of some sort. I know you don't want to drink no more. I know you don't want to do what you do, but you often think about it and this thing keep coming back. Or perhaps it's a decision of your past. Man, if I could just go back and what? How I turn back the hands of? Boy, how many of us would turn them back? Amen. I told my woman, I turn it back and change some things. But some things you can't change, some things you'll never change. There are some things you can never fix. You can't go back and undo it. It's done. What is done is done. It's a decision of your past, and it haunts you. It became your thorn. It could be a sin. You can't forgive yourself. You can't, and you regret you ever did it. And you know you wish you had never done it, but you done it now. You done it. And everything that come with it, you're living it. Consequences of that mistake is a thorn in your flesh. Seeing you when you just ain't seem to kick. And the problem is it bothers my conscience over and over and over. You regret it. You're haunted by it. It's a thorn. A painful experience. The phone call, I wasn't ready for it. I didn't want that call. It came. I wish the phone call had never come. Right. I know. It brought pain. Yeah. It brought tears and sorrow into my life. Why? Yeah. Yeah. Why? Hmm. Did that phone have to ring? Yeah. Yeah. Why? 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 Is the question we ask. But it was the thorn. The phone call was the thorn. To buffet. To harass you. To test your faith. What about this one? A significant emotional event that wrapped up in your life, and you play the screen, you play the movie, this event becomes a significant event of your life. And it was a very emotional event. The tragic death of a child. A mama will never, ever, ever forget. And she always asks, why my baby? It's the significant emotional event that that brings post-traumatic stress disorders. So why I keep thinking about this? You are traumatized by it. But it's the thorn. It's the thorn. It's the thorn. If God could have stopped it, he didn't. Y'all with me? He allowed it to happen, just as he did with Job, just as he did with Paul. But it's the emotionally, significantly emotional event of your life that still brings pain, even as I'm speaking of it now. I just pulled the scab off because it never was healed. Y'all follow what I'm saying? So what happens when you have a sore, and this is talking about the sore travail, when you have something so painful that's in your situation, when someone touches that thing, it still hurt. Why? Why? It hasn't healed, right? But you know, healing ain't the answer, is it? Hold on, what are you saying? I said, healing's not the answer. Somebody said, well, you know, God, you'll be all right. Really? What do you mean by that? I asked, what do you mean by that? Y'all gonna answer me? What did you mean? Are you gonna be all right? What do you mean? Oh, because you can't feel it. It's not your pain, it's mine. So I'm gonna be all right, right? That's what you're telling me? But soon as I came to you and pulled the scab off, you felt yours. You ain't healed, are you?
Nah.
Heal as we define heal is that the pain goes away. But I'm going to show you that's not how God dealt with it. Paul, he didn't take the pain away. What about a single mother, single woman, lonely, always in pain, feeling unwanted? You say, man, why? You know, why I can't get a man? You know, is something wrong with me? Am I too tall, too short? What am I? You know, I look at somebody else. You think you look at her. You say, "Well, I'm prettier than she is. She got a man. I can't even." Yeah, move on. But there are some people. Their self-esteem is so low that their thorn is they don't see themselves as beautiful, and it mentally is they're scarred by it. It's really not funny. Because to God, all of us are beautiful. Souls are beautiful to God. That's why he gave his son. Remember, something was special. What's special about us is our souls. What about a child without a daddy? And you see other little boy with their daddy. What about him? His thorn is I got to look at somebody else and I got to have some other man step in and call me stepdaddy. Where my daddy?
Nah.
Who want me? Who don't want? Why he want me? Why he not here for me? Nah. Why my mama won't tell me who he was? Nah. What is my daddy's name? Where is he at? And you've been living with that for years. You still don't know who your daddy is. It's your thorn. It's your thorn. By a child, by a mother. You know, it's one thing for a child to be a runaway, but it's a whole nother day when a child said, my mama didn't want me. My mama gave me to somebody else. I was a throwaway. And I have to live with that. Day in and day out. Why, mama, why, I wasn't good enough. And that's that child's thorn. What about a child who has parents in a dysfunctional home that they have to hear them talk to each other any kind of way? And they wonder, how did we get these parents? Why my mom and daddy? All they do is fuss and cuss each other out and talk about each other. They don't love each other. We had to watch this going up. Dad, abusive. Mom, cussing back at him. And the child leave home all scarred. And they leave looking back, why me? I ain't got to y'all yet. Let me try a couple more. A senior citizen. You know, you've been living 60, 70, 80 years. Married to your husband, wife, 40, 50, 60 years. And now all of a sudden you're a widow. And you're lonely. And why you say, why he had to go first? Why I couldn't have went? Why I gotta have all these secondary losses to remind me? I see his clothes, I see his shoes, I see where he cut the yard. He did this and he did this and he did this and he did this. And the day he died, everything that he did, every time something go undone that he did, I'm reminded that he ain't here. I see his shoes and nobody put them on no more because he ain't coming back no more. Any widowers in here understand what I'm saying? And you've been living with that thorn. You ain't even moved his clothes yet. Because you're in that dark room. And that thorn is there. It's poking you. It's reminding you. It's over and over. Day in and day out. It's a thorn in the flesh. It's a physical situation dealing with mental issues. How do you do that? Who can talk about being a widow that ain't never had been a widow? Who can talk about being a widower who's never been a widower? You can't talk about something you ain't never done. Be careful who you take your advice from, because everybody give you advice don't have no experience to give it. Amen. Now, and you say, well, brother, what's going on? I'm just trying to relate this to us, relate it some kind of way. Something here could help somebody. It could be something so painful that, you know, you think about things that cause you to lose sleep at night. Anybody had sleep issues before? Over something? You can't go to because it's troubling your mind. Your mind is trouble. You can't get an answer. You see no way out. You even dream about it. You ask, why me? You are, why my child? You wake up in the night with a nightmare and you say, man, why? Why I keep thinking about this stuff? Well, ain't nobody else. Nobody else done none of this kind of stuff in here. Now, what are these experiences called? What are we talking about this morning? We're talking about what? A thorn in the flesh. It's a thing. Now, I'm gonna show you why I say it. With fact that we are human beings, you know that, right? We're not God. We're human beings. We're gonna have these things going on in our life. Some we got to deal with. We don't know what's coming next, man. We don't know what the next information going to be that you get shared and what you're going to do. Some things that you should, when you first hear, you just say, what? I wasn't ready for that one. I know y'all ready to go home. Let me finish. Now, I want to ask a personal question. How many of y'all that are listening to me, whether you're on YouTube, Facebook, or on a conference call or in this room, can admit you got some called a thorn now. You understand? Can you admit it? Y'all get some amens in the room? Okay, I got a couple in here can admit it. Now, I got about 5 amens. But I guarantee everybody in here should have said amen. I'm gonna give y'all one more shot. Anybody understand this?
Amen.
Thank you. Now, Paul did too. So listen to what he did. So Paul did this. Here's what he says in verse number 8. He said, watch this. Watch why he singularly said this thing. See that? Hold on right there. Don't read past it. So what he said, he nails it down to a what? A thing. This thing that I'm dealing with. It seemed like it's one thing that really got it. I besought, he said, what I did is I besought
the Lord thrice.
I asked God three times to, Lord, take this thing away from me.
That it might depart from me.
Take this thing away. How many of y'all, if God say, what you need? Take this thing on. Take this thing. I don't want this thing. I'm tired of this thing. This thing hurt, God. I want it to go away. Mm-hmm. Paul says, I went to God and asked him. You know what this reminds me of, though, and I won't go there. You can go read it for yourself. You probably heard it. Jesus, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he knew something. The thing he knew was I'm going to die in about 24 hours. And he got trouble in the heart, right? How many of you knew if you got 24 hours to live, that would be the thing that you had to deal with at that time? Jesus had 24 hours to live thereabout, and he went to his disciples, they had the Last Supper with him, and then he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he, in that garden, the Bible says that he prayed three times to God. He went to the Lord three times, Matthew 26:44, the Bible says, and he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same word, let this cup pass, let this cup pass. I don't want to deal with this, Father. I don't want to deal with it. Let the cup pass. If we could know what we're getting ready to deal with, we would ask God 3 times, 10 times if we could, please let this cup pass. I don't want to deal with it. Somebody said, well, you know, it's a sin to say repetition. No, if that's the case, Jesus did it. It can't be a sin to have a repetition prayer. Well, see, it's vain repetition that he was talking about. Something that don't have no meaning to God. This is when don't be ashamed to go to God when you got some cups in your life. You got a cup of suffering you deal with. You take it to God. You take it to him and keep asking. The Paul said, I went to him 3 times. Then Jesus responded to Paul. He heard him the whole time. So Paul, it wasn't that, you know, you thought to me, what did I do wrong? What sin is in my life? God keep bringing this stuff in my life. What am I doing so bad? I'm trying to live right. I'm trying to do right. Why is this coming down on me? God, are you not listening? Yes, he's listening. But this thing is there for a purpose. God said, Jesus responds to him. He said to me, Paul said, what God, Jesus said to me, as he read, he said, you asked me to take something away that I gave you for a purpose. Yeah. What did he say? My grace will handle you through this situation.
For my strength is made.
Now, you'll see how strong I am when I show you how weak you are. I'll show you, God said, I'm going to use the thorn, I'm going to put the thing, it ain't going nowhere, because I'm going to show you how weak you are, and how strong I am, how you can't do nothing without me, you know I'm your strength, you won't give me credit, you'll know I got you through it, when you know I did it,
yeah, right.
And I ain't taking it away. And then he says, Paul said, then most gladly. since that's the answer that came from my prayer request, he said, more gladly, therefore, will I rather glory
in my infirmities.
In my infirmities. What are you saying, Paul? I understand when I was asking him to take away. If it's for my benefit, then I'm thankful I got out of the car wreck over it. I'm thankful I came home from the hospital. I'm thankful I got my organ transplant. I'm thankful for the insulin. I thank God for the blood pressure. I thank him for the chemotherapy. Why are you thanking me? Because I'm getting glory in my infirmities. See, brother, what he's saying is, when I put you in the state of weaknesses that you want, that I need you in, you bring glory back to God. You start thanking God. That's why people, when they get on their sick bed, they change, boy, they do good. You can tell when they mean it. When they sick, they say all the right things. When they get the feeling better, they start doing everything they were doing before they got sick.
Amen.
Yeah. Anybody guilty? Oh, Lord, I'm going to serve you more. I'm going to do more of now. Oh, just get me up. Oh, Lord. Get up and back to normal. You didn't glory in your weakness. See, he took that away from me. And guess who got the glory? It wasn't God. You gave glory back to whatever you went back to doing. But you be careful with that now. There are some thorns he said, okay, that one didn't work. I'm going to give you another one. And I ain't taking it back. And then you'll figure out who's doing it. You'll figure out who to put first. The Lord told him, my grace is sufficient. I got enough unmerited favor to take care of everything you need, Paul. You just keep preaching. Y'all see what God, how God was talking to Paul. He told him what he told him. He said, my grace is what? Sufficient. No, notice this. The Lord assured Paul that I'm not going to take away the thorn, but I'm going to give you some strength to get through it. Sometimes the pain from the thorn keeps us humble. Sometimes the pain from the thorn keeps us holding on to God. It keeps us praying. It keeps us coming to the building. It keeps us reading our Bible. It got us doing things to get us focused on saving our soul. So God is saying, if I take the thing away, you ain't going to think about your soul. You ain't going to think about nothing to do to get your life right with me. I'm going to call your name one day, and that's going to be the end of it. If I take this thorn from you, you're going to leave the church. So God knows. He knows if he takes some of this stuff we asking him to take away from us, we wouldn't have nothing else to do with him. I'm getting ready to close. Ain't no hallelujahs. There's no shouting, waving your hands and stuff. Nobody doing none of that, is he? Why is that? Why? Because the real type stuff, right? This is real, though. You can go to Joel for some of that other stuff, but Joel Osteen, he'll lift your self-esteem. But you want to talk about realities of life? You got to look at what God put in the book with men like Paul. Amen. So this is a reality. No, he don't always remove the thorn, but he always going to give us strength to bear the burden. He going to give us strength to get through it because God is, he's given us everything that we've been studying this on Wednesday night that pertains to what? Life and godliness. And he said we can be content with just food and shelter. God said, I'm not interested in putting you in no mansion. That's not my interest. My interest is, will you seek ye first the kingdom? Y'all know, God can do this, man. I'm closing, but he said, you remember how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, y'all remember them? Threw them in the fiery furnace. They threw them in there. They still had to go in the furnace. They still had to go in the furnace, but they just didn't get burnt. Why? His grace was up. So, but he didn't stop them from being thrown in. Y'all remember Daniel? Had to see them old lions in the pit. He had to look down there and see them lions. Man, he gonna throw him in there. When he threw him in there, he didn't stop him from throwing him in the pit, but he just stopped the lions from biting him. He locked their jaws. See what I'm saying? God gonna put us in some stuff. We gotta go into the lion den. We gotta go into the fiery furnaces of life, but it ain't always burn us the way we define being burnt. Why? Because God's grace is sufficient. He does not always remove our infirmities, but he will give us strength to bear them. Now, If you close with this last verse 10, he said, therefore, since I know that now, here's what Paul said. Verse 10. He said, now, because of what I just told y'all about my weaknesses and what God, Jesus' response to me, he said, now, here's what I do now. Now that I got my head right on the situation. I asked God to get rid of this thing will bother me. He said, but now I got the answer from him. I know he gave it to me for this reason. And he said, you're going to know how strong I am when I show you how weak you are, Paul. Paul said, I get that. He said, now, therefore, since I know that now, I take pleasures in my what?
Infirmities.
My weaknesses.
In reproaches.
In insults. Or whatever come, the pain to come.
In necessities.
And persecutions.
In
distresses. For Christ's sake. His mind just changed. Everything just changed. He got an understanding that this thing is there for my benefit. This thing is there for me. Rather than complain about the thing, I need to accept that it's God allowing this thing, that has allowed whatever he's allowed to happen in our lives for a reason. So therefore I take pleasure in it now, meaning that I can understand it, I'm okay with it, rather than criticizing it, rather than questioning it, rather than asking God to take it away, I just accept it as it is and live for the Lord and let him do what he's gonna do with me.
Amen.
For when I am weak,
then I am strong.
See that? Paul said, I see it. What I thought was causing me to be weak, that thorn, that thing, I'm strong enough to deal with it. Ain't that something? You know, I mean, how you look at a Christian and say, man, how she holding up? Man, how they making it? You know, why can that woman, that brother or sister, be so strong as a Christian? Well, she knows something. She got it. She figured it out. Paul figured it out right here. He said, I know now what it is. This God give me these things, and I know when I'm weak, then I'm going to be strong because I give God credit. I know I'm strong. Oh, man, I know I can do this.
Yeah.
Do you say, bring it on, God? No, you don't do that. No. Now, don't do that. No, be careful what you get. Don't act like you're so big that you can't be brought down. Yeah, you just got to take it with humility. That's what I'm going to talk about this afternoon for those who don't call in the afternoon. Y'all ought to be ashamed. Don't come here on Sunday morning. Yeah. You don't join us for the afternoon service? Why not? What's your problem? You sick? You shut in? Or you shut out? Or you shut down, like brother said, you don't shut down. That would be enough of the Lord, enough of Jesus for the day. I got enough, got my word, got my juice. Amen, somebody. Yeah. Saw some faces, shook some hands, and said some hallelujahs. And that's enough for the day. Catch you again next week, God. Try y'all see what happened. Brother Brooke got to say next week. Now, if we stop there, y'all understand what it is now? What should we be doing with our thorn? Now, Paul said, therefore, I take what?
Pleasure.
Mean you gonna like the pain? No. I understand it enough that I'm pleased with what's happening because I understand why it's happening. What God is saying is that I give you what I want to give you because that'll tell you how weak you are. And when you're weak, then you'll be made stronger because you're gonna give God the credit. So what you should be doing with your thorns, it don't mean it's gonna go away. It doesn't mean you're gonna stop crying. It doesn't mean you're gonna stop feeling it, but you can't have understanding. You accept God's will that has been done in your life. That's what Jesus did. He said, not my will, but your will be done. He went back to the apostles. He said, sleep on. He sleep on. He was going to the cross. He went to be beaten. He was mocked that day. They spit upon him. He knew he was doing the Father's will. He was headed to death. He was headed to Calvary. He was beat with a whip. They drove nails in his hands. They drove nails in his feet. They hung him on the old rugged cross. For 6 hours, he hung there knowing he was going to die. Why? When he was weak in the garden. Then he became strong. He was strong enough to get to the cross. It was at the cross, where I first saw the light. And the burdens of my soul rolled away. The worst situation you could ever be in, listening audience, is that you never come to the belief that there is a God. You never come to the belief that Jesus hung on that old cross. You never come to the belief that the blood is in the water of grave of baptism, like that little child got baptized this week. Washed her in the blood. She believed it. She believed it. You got a thorn, but you ain't gonna get no grace. You ain't gonna get no favor from God. But God said, Jesus said, come to me. Come to me. All you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll be the one to give you rest. Jesus is calling this morning. Somebody listen to me need to know the only way through this thing you got going on with you is that you come to the Lord. Come now, how do I come, Brother Brooks? I've been dealing with it a long time, but you've been dealing with it without God. And life without God has no meaning, according to Solomon. It's meaningless. as I write about in my book. It's meaningless. You have lived a life without God. Those of us who are dealing with this thing in our life, we choose to deal with it with God. You're going to have the thing, you're going to have the thorn with or without God. But wise men and women deal with life with God, with God. So how you doing, Brother Brooke? You come by hearing. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you believe that he was there on that day in Calvary? Do you believe? See, brother, I believe in Jesus. I believe he died for me. Then when you repent, make a decision this morning. I'm going to give my life to the Lord. I got to give it to him. I've been dealing with this thing too long, but I'm going to deal with it now with God. Then be willing to make a confession when you come down here. I'm going to ask you, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? You say, I believe it. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What are we going to do then? We're going to baptize. Why? Because Jesus told us to. Mark 16, 15 and 16. He said, he that believeth is baptized shall be saved. Matthew 21 through 20, 18. He said, go teach all nations, baptizing them. Jesus told us to baptize. What is baptism for? The remission of sins, according to Peter. Acts 2, 38. And then the Lord would add, he said, only church in the Bible, the church of Christ. That's the only one in the Bible. And I don't take that back. I said it enough this time. If you don't believe it, go read it for yourself. Go read it for yourself. So find more than one church in the Bible. I'll preach. Ain't but one in there. Ain't but one in there. Not in this book. Amen, somebody. I want you to come to the Lord. Who need prayer this morning? Somebody need prayer? If you're on iCall, you need prayer. You're on Facebook, YouTube, you need prayer. Hit 5-star on your phone if you're on the conference call. But if you're in this room where I'm at today, you come down and let us pray for you. You know, sometimes you're going through, you just got to have some prayers. Amen. I'm going to be the first one today. Can y'all please pray for me? Pray for my child. Pray for me and my family. I'm the first to ask. Anybody else need prayer? I want y'all to come. I want you to come. We got a song of encouragement. And we got the song of encouragement. What I want to encourage you to do, I try to give you a reality type check this morning. And I'm going to try to do more of that. Just to make sure we dealing with life as it is. And we understand who's in control of our life. Will you give God control of your life this morning? If you're not a Christian, please become a Christian. We're begging you. We hope you will. We hope you'll love God enough to become a Christian. We're getting ready to sing you some encouragement. If you have prayer, you can write it on the card. The urchins will pick it up and bring it down. Or you can walk down here yourself and make your prayer request. If you want to be saved, walk down to the front. We'll take your confession this morning. We'll baptize you this morning. Is that right, brother? We got clothes and we got everything for your hair. We got everything you need. All you got to have is a heart to give to God. Give your hand to preacher. We'll take your hand. You give your heart to God. We'll take your confession and baptize. If you need to come home, you've been out of the church a long time. You've been dealing with life all without God. You need to come back. You come back through repentance and confession. That's what you need to do this morning. Because this thing ain't going away. You got to live deal with it with God. This thing called the thorn in the flesh. Your lesson today, once you come, as a gallery we stand and sing this little encouragement.